A Present Day Challenge to Prayer. Part 2. A Master Fisher for Souls. Chapter 1. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. John 11:35-36. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalms 126:5. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Acts 20:31. Oh, people say you must be very careful, very judicious. You must not thrust religion down people's throat. Then I say, you will never get it down. What? Am I to wait till an unconverted, godless man wants to be saved till I try to save him? He will never want to be saved till the death rattle in his throat. What? Am I to let my unconverted friends and acquaintances drift down quietly to damnation and never tell them of their souls until they say, If you please, I want you to preach to me? Is this anything like the spirit of early Christianity? We talk of Old Testament saints, but I would we were all like David. Rivers of water ran down his eyes because men kept not the law of his God. But you say, we cannot all hold services? Perhaps not. Go as you like. Go as quietly and softly as the morning dew. Have meetings like the friends if you like. Only do it. Don't let your relatives and friends and acquaintances die and their blood be found on your skirts. Catherine Booth. Pleading with Tears. J.N. was a Brahman attending our mission school. As he grew up, the teaching of Christ attracted him, and he was the faithful scholar of one of our lady missionaries at Sunday school as well. When he left school and was beginning to earn his own living, he was drawn to confess publicly that Christ was the Savior. He did this in the face of bitter opposition of a widowed mother and relations. Then they tried a more subtle plan that began to please him. Their kindness won his heart. He went back home, and he was surrounded by young men who led him into drink. It must have been an inherited weakness with him. He fell and denied his Lord. But thank God he was miserable and went to see Mr. Hyde, who received him, as did the father, his prodigal son. This lad living with Mr. Hyde was won from his evil ways and once again confessed faith in his Savior. But what a trial he was when the drink demon would possess him. Again and again he stole Mr. Hyde's clothes and sold them to satisfy his mad craving. I met Mr. Hyde about this time, and he said to me with a smile, I may not get up to you to the hills this summer. The Father evidently desires me to spend my hot weather in the plains, for I have no warm clothes left. He took the spoiling of his goods cheerfully and thought they were a small price to pay in exchange for an immortal soul. He would point out how our Lord bore with Judas and others, how he never sent any away who were anxious to remain in his company. And so Hyde bore with this demon-possessed youth. In his sane moments, the lad realized what a privilege was his to live with such a saint. I was traveling in the train, and a Christian lady ticket collector met me at W. She was full of a wonderful man she had seen. He was speaking to a lad seated in a train going to Lahore. The boy was loud and almost abusive. I am tired of this sort of thing. I am going to my boon companions and shall have a good time, he said. Then the gentleman he was speaking to leant forward in a low tone, begged him not to go away from him. He got back only a rude answer, and she, feeling angry and disgusted, left them. When she came back, she saw the missionary leaning into the carriage window, and she heard him beseeching the lad not to leave him. He was imploring him in Christ's name, and she saw tears flowing down his cheeks as he reasoned with the headstrong lad. Ah, I exclaimed, he knew the value of an immortal soul. In spite of all entreaties, the lad took his own way, but to the very end, that missionary was seen in deadly earnest trying to win that soul from the way of sin. She lost sight of the missionary when the down train steamed out. He went sadly to some dear friends in Gujarat, alone. Next day, she saw the same lad coming back from Lahore. She said to him, "You have come back very soon again." He looked up with a pale face. "I am going back to him," he replied. "I have not been able to sleep all night. I could not forget his tears." And he came back, a penitent. That missionary was John Hyde, and that lad, J.N. I often felt that if souls could say the same of us, that we wept over them, our tears would bring them to a proper frame of mind. Our Lord's whole body shed tears when his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Jesus wept. The Jews therefore said, "Behold how he loved him." Soul winners, can this be said of each one of us? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. God is love. His children please him only so far as they are like him and walk in love. True heavenly love has its life and roots in the cross of Christ. It has the single eye and is its own recompense, endures in gratitude and survives indifferency and contempt, has great sense of wrongs, but is ready to forgive, and covers a multitude of sins. The love we speak of is meek and lowly, behaves itself wisely and edifies, bearing with the foolish and self-conceited, while it shuns their folly. This holy love is the durable work of the Spirit of God. It proves faithfully in wintry days, and ever ready to rejoice with them that do rejoice, adds gladness to their days of sunshine. If we would so love all saints as to please God, we must bear in mind that their names are written in heaven and on Christ's heart. Otherwise, we shall love some because they are lovely, and dislike others because of their blemishes. Choice Sayings of Robert Chapman.